Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone, and we're back again with another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is February the 25th, 2014. And, of course, Valentine has passed, but love is always in the air, and we have Bruce Starr on, who is known as the Love Coach, and he even has his own radio show on Blog Talk Radio, The Love Coach. Good afternoon, Bruce. How are you?
Hey, Technisha, so good to be on your show, and I love to be invited on to shows like yours and on my own show where I get to talk about love and kindness and relationships, and I can't wait to get to talk to you more about it.
I know, and I'm born in February, so I love the word love, and anything that comes with it, sex and everything that goes right along with it, follows down on the line. I think this is perfect, and it's an honor to really have you on because you have done so much. You have been around the world preaching about this to churches and different seminars, so it's an honor, Bruce, really. You're like a godfather of love.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate those kind words.
They should make a movie out of Bruce, Godfather of Love, something like that. But, Bruce, how did you first get into being a love coach?
Well, Technisha, I was single most of my adult life. I went to college school in Boston, Massachusetts, 124 mm-hmm. colleges and universities there, and I'd say about a third of them were girls' schools. So I picked a great town to go to college. And boy, did I have fun. There was never a dull moment. I loved being single. But while I was single, I kept running into problems that I couldn't figure out. For instance, the girls that I picked out that I really wanted to be with, that I thought I could be with, I always had problems with them. They didn't want to be with me for the long term, and they didn't take me too seriously, and the girls that I really didn't care too much whether I stayed with them or whether we stayed together, they couldn't get enough of me, and I had a hard time, like, breaking things off with them. I wondered what that was about. So I'm the kind of person where if I don't know something, I have to look at what's going on and look into it, and that's when I started my work studying several different philosophies on life until I started to understand what made relationships tick and what reasons came up where they didn't work. And after studying for several years, I started hosting and producing radio and TV shows. I went into AOL, probably something that you didn't know too much about, but AOL in the 90s was an incredible place to meet people. And I opened up a room called Relationship Coaching and spoke to over 6,000 people and shared the information that I learned. And that's really how it kept going on from there, onward and onward.
But how did you get the idea to open a room on AOL?
A very funny story. I was in the entertainment industry out in L.A., and a TV producer friend of mine who, believe it or not, produced The Love Boat a long time ago and produced Love Connection. I went to visit him, and he said, "What are you doing now?" Because I was an agent and manager in the entertainment industry, and I left it. He said, "I'm a speaker and I teach relationships." She said, "Come over here for a second." And he pulled out America Online on his computer, and I said, "What is that?" And he said, "You could be reaching people from all over the country on America Online." He said, "Just open up a room, call it anything." And the first word that came to me was relationship coaching. He said, "You make up a room called relationship coaching. People will come in there and ask you questions." And that's what I did for the next 10 years.
Wow. And it's amazing because, I mean, people are still having relationship problems today. And imagine how it was years ago, and this is 2014 now. Are there any differences that you see from now, from back then?
Huge differences, and I'm so glad you asked that question because it's easy to answer, but it's very difficult to answer because the people that are listening are not going to like what I have to say. And here's what's happened in the last 10 or 20 years or so.
Speak the truth, Bruce.
I'm glad to, girl. The rule of the masculine man and the feminine women have interchanged. Women, because perhaps growing up in dysfunctional households, they grew up with alcoholic parents, drug-addicted parents, drug-addicted father, a mother family, they had to take on the role of being more masculine. So when they got out into the workplace, they started taking on that masculine role. And here's the big problem, Technisha. They have the much added challenge of learning how to do something that worked for 10,000 years. Here's what worked for 10,000 years. Men were aggressive. They got sticks and bats, and they beat the heck out of animals and brought that animal home to eat, and they were the aggressive ones. They were the assertive ones. They pursued the woman, and the woman, no weaker. Being feminine receptive is no weaker than an aggressive man. They were the people that made the most changes. They decided that they wanted to be much more aggressive, assertive, and masculine, and here's the problem. You can't have two assertive, masculine people in a relationship or else they will battle with each other all the time. And two people do not want to battle when they're in bed. They just don't want it. They don't want to battle with their wife, their husband. They don't want it to be fighting all the time. Although some people think fighting is sexy and romantic, it's not. So
yeah, because that's what Tom said. They love the makeup sex. And no,
exactly.
My husband will walk away. He's not going to argue with you.
That's right. So what's happened is we've had a tremendous change of role, and women are acting like masculine in the relationship, and they're not attracted to the masculine man anymore. They're only attracted to the more receptive guy. And you know what? When I say feminine receptive, I don't mean gay or, you know, anything like that. You know the way men have all talked about, hey, the girls are coming on to me. All I have to do is wait for them to come on to me, and then I can pick and choose? That's not the masculine thing to do. That's a very feminine and receptive thing to do. And it works for a while because the women think, I'm going to go after that one, and they go after him. But after a while, they get sick of the feminine, receptive guy that doesn't want to work. He's home. He's home for sex, and he's home. He's always available. But after a while, the woman says to herself, what's with this guy? He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything. I don't want to be here. In other words, she picked him for who he was, and then she gets bored with him because he's feminine and receptive. So it's a terrible, especially in dating. Oh, my God, who's supposed to go up to who? Men don't want, really, true men don't want women coming up to them and being the initiators and being the ones that make all, they don't want that. So you asked a good question. I hope I didn't over-answer it, but it's definitely much more challenging now than ever before.
No, it was straight to the point because a lot of women do think that, oh, I should approach him. No, he needs to be doing the work. If he wants you, he needs to be approaching you. No, don't put yourself out there on front street.
And Technisha, I got to tell you that these same women say to me, because of lack of self-esteem and lack of self-confidence, they say, if I don't go up to him, I'm never going to get a date. That's not true. Because there's two things women have done for 10,000 years that work just great. First of all, you want your man that you end up with to be strong, and you want him to be able to make decisions. You don't want to take that power away from him. So how do you allow him to have the power and still be with someone you want to be with? There's two things. One, smile at them. Not just for a second and look down and away. Smile at them. And if they see you smiling at them, are they going to say, oh, she's not interested in me, I'm not going to go? No, you're opening up the door to having that man come up to you and say hello, because if he's afraid that you're a masculine type and you're going to reject him and embarrass him, he's not going to come up to you. But if you smile at him, number one, and you make quality eye contact. What is quality eye contact? When you look, you could look at a guy across the room. It doesn't matter. If you look at him for 5 seconds, keep those eyes open. One, two, three, smile. Four, five. If you do that,
yeah.
If that person is looking for a good woman, if he's not gay or married or whatever, if he's looking for a good woman and he's attracted to you the same way you're kind of attracted to him, he's going to come over and say something to you, because he's going to feel you're not going to reject him.
And also, if you're somewhere and you're on your phone and you're really not engaged, don't expect anyone to really walk up on you either, because you have to seem like you're interesting. You can't be boring and expect somebody to put a guy to walk up on you and say, oh, hey, how's it going?
No, that's right. And I'm gonna say one other thing that maybe a lot of your listeners won't like. Stop going to bars. Stop going to gyms where people focus on their muscles and their bodies and their butts and their boobs. Stop going to those places where people are caught up in the physical. There are places you need to be creative now. You need to think outside the box. But there are places you can go where you can meet people that you'd like to meet. One place I'm going to tell you about, and your listeners, volunteer your time.
Okay.
Volunteer at something that you really like to do, because you know what? If you're a female and you volunteer your time, what kind of people also volunteer their time? Good-hearted, open, kind, generous people. Many times they're presidents, CEOs, vice presidents, heads of companies where you'd never, ever get a chance to meet them someplace else. But by volunteering, you break down the doors that keep you separated, and you could meet some incredible people that way. And I have a lot of other ideas.
Now, what about work? Because that's where I met my husband.
Well, I think work is a wonderful place. Where else can you get to see someone time and time again and get to know them from a distance? Where else can you get to do that but at work? But, of course, a lot of people will say you shouldn't do that at work, and it's kind of true. It's kind of true. What I say about that is don't rush into anything. In other words, get to really know the person. Go out and have lunches. Go out and have dinners. Go out and go to movies. Go out and double and triple date. Go bowling. Really get to know the person. And after a few weeks, hopefully a few months, once you realize that, oh, my God, we didn't jump into bed together. He's not taking advantage of me. I'm not taking advantage of him. I'm not with him because he's got more money than I have or the car he drives. Once you find a quality person, you have to take the chance, even if it means one of you losing your job because they don't want couples to work together. I don't know if that's true anymore, but if you find the love of your life or someone that you can really be with, you can't replace that easily. Go get another job or be professional at the jobs that you're at. But meeting someone just like you did is an excellent way to meet someone at work.
Bruce, do you still believe in love at first sight? Because I know I do, because God loves us at first sight, so I do believe in it.
Okay, I am with you, but Remember I told you I was single most of my life. I've been with the same woman 15 years. I've been married almost 10. We adopted a beautiful little girl. As you get older, you need to shift around the energy centers in your body. Have you ever heard of the word chakras before by any chance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, a lot of people say that there are 7 energy centers in your body. And the ones down below, kind of in your in the base of your spine and kind of where your belly button is, those are very highly sexual energy centers. And when we're younger, we really come from those highly sexual energy centers. But as we get older, we need to bring those energies up into our heart area, into our throat area of communication, into our intuition area. And we need to have a more of a balance. So we can't just be going along love at first sight because, quite frankly, Tanisha, where I've lived and where I've been in my life, that happens every day to me. But can I act on it and want to have sex with them? No. So love at first sight absolutely means that there's a very strong chemistry, sexual chemistry, physical chemistry between you. But as you get older, you have to learn that that can only be part of it and not all of it.
And you know, I was thinking on what you were saying. I was thinking about the fact that people got to start mixing up love and, well, booty call, really. That's what we really call it. When I mean, because at first you'd be thinking, oh, he loves me and everything, but if he's coming to your house at 11 o'clock at night and just spending just probably about 30 minutes with you, then no, it's not. It's not love at all. It's called I'm getting in and I'm going to go back out. That's what it's called.
There's nothing about love in that. Nothing.
Exactly.
It's about hooking up, getting off, Where was he all those other hours when he was having a good time? Where is he going to go now? No. Love is being with the person that you are with because you love being with them. You love things about them. You love their personality. You love the way they make you feel. You love the way they warm your heart. It's definitely not booty call, and it's definitely not just someone you're having hot sex with. I had the most incredible relationship of my life many, many years ago with someone. The sex was so exotic and so intense, I thought my brain was going to explode, and I thought that that must be the person I'm supposed to marry. And I heard little voices in my head say, here's a gift to you in case you ever doubted yourself, your abilities to be a great lover, your abilities to enjoy sex to the hilt. This is not necessarily the foundation for love. It can be, but it must move into other areas of communication, caring, kindness, gentleness, sweetness. And if it doesn't, if it just stays in the bed, recognize it for what it is. That's what you want. If that's all that you're looking for, knock yourself out. But if you're looking at your life, if you're looking at kindness and love and sweetness, stop doing that. Stop. And start healing. Don't start dating. Don't start filling your life with one guy, one girl after another. Stop. Slow up. And start healing yourself so that when you do meet someone that could be a lifelong mate, you're not running on empty.
I do agree with that all the way. Now, Bruce, what was it like in the beginning of the social world, turned to the Internet for you?
It was fascinating because I did open up that room, Relationship Coaching, and in my book, I've written a book called Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. And by the way, I am going to be starting a school where I am going to be helping players transform back from player to lover. I know millions of people are caught up in it, and I also know millions of people want to return to love and don't know how. Write down this email address, lovecoach, L-U-V-coach, L-U-V-coach, at AOL.com. Go to my website, luvcoach.net, luvcoach.net. If what I'm saying to you makes sense, write down those email addresses, that website, even if you don't visit it now. When you're ready, Technisha, you want to do some work up in Atlanta, I'll do it with you. If we can do seminars or workshops up in Atlanta, I'm in South Florida. If we can work something out where I can help people up in Atlanta, I'm ready.
That would be great. And we're already neighbors. You're in Florida. I'm in Atlanta. Hey.
I'm ready to help.
And I'm ready to get I will be ready to get started with you, Bruce.
Let's, you know, when we're done after the show, let's talk. Let's see if you have, you know, people there that are willing to open up their heart again. Because you know what, Technisha? The world depends on it. I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound very crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've already said crazy things. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When you ask one of the best questions someone asked me in a long time, is dating, is relationships different now than it was? You know, when I was younger, and I don't have these facts, but if a million people were unhappy and their hearts were broken 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years, if a million people were unhappy, that was a terrible thing. But you look around now, Technisha, you look around to all the people that are going by the new school rules of doing things, hooking up, cold relationships. When you look at those people have broken hearts. Their hearts are broken. They're angry. They're bitter. They're disappointed. They're alone and lonely. I'm going to make another estimate. There's not a million people around like that. I'm going to say there's 100 million people around like that. Maybe even 1 billion people around like that. Now, when people put out bad vibes, when they put out bad vibrations, if there's 100 million people putting out bad vibrations instead of just 1 million, that energy goes out into the environment. It goes to Mother Nature. And that energy has to be expended in one way or another. And I truly believe the reason why we're having these horrendous snowstorms, horrendous tornadoes, horrendous earthquakes, tsunamis, that energy has found its release. And if we, one person at a time, doesn't open up their hearts to love, we could be in a very dangerous situation in the near future.
Wow, that is powerful. It is. It really gives you to think about it.
I believe the world depends on each one of us opening up our hearts again.
Yeah. Because there's not enough love. We have too much envy in our hearts, so we're too stubborn. But the love also starts with God, too, so we have to get that first. In order to even love someone else, we need to start loving ourselves and get the love and understanding of God as well. So that's, I do agree with all that.
That's the key. If you don't love yourself, if you don't have high self-esteem, if you don't have high self-love, you're constantly going to be waiting for someone to take you out of your misery, and you're going to assign somebody else to do it. It's not going to happen. It may look like it happened. Your girlfriends may find someone who has some money, or a doctor, or a lawyer, and they could get together and stay together for a month, 6 months. They might even get married. But are they going to be happy on a relationship based upon something that's not of love, that's based upon fears that he's going to change his mind if he finds someone sexier or prettier, or she's going to change her mind if she finds someone who has more love than I do? A relationship based on fear cannot work. Only relationships based on love can work.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, this is some true stuff, listeners. I hope you take a heed to it. Now, Bruce, what were some of the most important things that you learned from that AOL online experience?
Wow, you're asking some great questions. And
thank
you for doing that, because here's what I learned. And this is so important because everybody's going to be able to relate to this. When you were 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and you fell in love for the first time, you had your first love, didn't that feel great?
It did. I actually, when I was in the ninth grade, that was 1997, and I thought I was so much in love with this guy named Ramon, because he was a senior. Oh, he was just gorgeous to me, and he wore Adidas, and every time he would just pass, it looked like my heart would just melt, and I even wrote a letter. But when somebody read that letter, that's what crushed me. I was like, oh, shucks. Because, you know, in high school, you're silly. You got the bullies and everything. So somebody read my letter, I was like, that's it. That just crushed my whole dream down. But I still love Ramon. I hope he's not listening to the show.
You didn't listen to anybody. You came with a full open heart. You didn't have baggage. You didn't have all these, don't do this. You just loved, and that's wonderful. But here's what happened. If you had your heart broken, and this is the story that I heard time after time after time, if you had your heart broken, let me just tell you something about men that you might not know. And men, I want you to know this, and women, I want you to hear me. I'm not just for men, not just for women, I'm for everybody. If a man gets his heart broken by a woman, he may never recover. He may never recover. A woman, she could talk to her mother, her sisters, her mother, her cousins, her friends, but if a guy gets his heart broken, like let's say Joe and Frank get down to the gym, is Joe going to go over to Frank and say, hey, Frank, I'm feeling really vulnerable. I just had my heart broken by my girlfriend. She told me she didn't love me anymore. Now, you can hear guys talk like that at a gym. Not going to happen. So men don't have any way to talk this out. So here's what I learned. What I learned is, and this is so important, people still want to be social. They want to hook up. They want to have sex. So what they did was they started proceeding in their relationship thinking about them, thinking about the best way to do it, compromising themselves, and thinking, well, if he has enough of what I want, I'll give him what I have. And he's saying, if she's sexy enough and pretty enough, I'll give her a little bit of what I have if she has enough of what I want. Is there anything about love in there? No. So people started proceeding with their how they think about relationships instead of how they feel about them, and they think, they tucked away their hearts while they interacted with one person after another. And that's the worst thing that we've done, is so few of us are moving ahead with our hearts and only thinking about relationships with our heads, and it just doesn't work. It's like oil and water. We think it works. All need to do the kinds of things to find out ways to safely open up our hearts to love again without fearing that we're picking the wrong kind of person, choosing the wrong kind of person. That's where my work comes in. I do one-on-one relationship coaching work. People can contact me, lovecoach@AOL.com, lovecoach@AOL.com. I will help people who want to get out of the player mode and get into the lover mode. What do you think?
Did I lose you? Technician, did I lose you? Oh, I don't hear you.
Bruce?
Oh, there you are. I hear you now.
Okay. All right. I was saying, Bruce, do you get a lot of clients that actually come to you with these type of issues? Because I know some people are shy. They don't want everyone to know that they have these love problems.
They don't want anybody to know. And
no, they don't.
They come to you for 100 different reasons, but it all comes down to what I just told you. They've closed their hearts. They become players. They're angry. They're bitter. They feel rejected. They feel alone and lonely. and I can help them open up their hearts to love again. It's what I do. It's what I want to do. I will do this. If we can get people to come together at a hotel in Atlanta sometime 3-4 months from now, who all want to open up their hearts, I'll be there. I'll come to Atlanta, and we'll work together with people who want to have love again.
Now, Bruce, do you actually think it is still true players out here, because that's what guys love to call themselves? Women do, too. They love to play the love game. And, you know, we even, what was the movie that Vivica A. Fox played in with Morris Chestnut? It was, I can't even think of the movie all of a sudden. It was a love game. It was a movie playing games, and she gave you the steps on this is what you should do, and this is how you should do it. But at the end, it wasn't what you really should do, because true love is just true love. It's not no game involved or nothing else.
Exactly, exactly. A couple of ladies put out a book called The Games Book about 10, 20, 15 years ago, The Player, and it was really all about how to outplay the player. Oh, my God, what a horrible waste of time. The book sold millions. Oh, horrible, horrible. And my book, Body Traders, and I get the word body traders, and I told you a little bit about it before. If you have enough of what I want, I'll give you what I have if you have enough of what I want. Horse trading, that's, and what I call body trading. That's not love. There's no love there. So my book is called Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. It's the book that will help millions of people eventually learn how to bring love back into their lives.
Okay, and
that's what we all need to do. We all need to have more love.
We do. We need that love. And people don't know how to.
It's the only reason why we came to this world, was to have love, feel love, and express love to others. And we have gotten sidetracked. Oh, my God. If it wasn't chocolate that sidetracked us or sex, now it's this money thing. Everybody's going after the money. Everybody's sidetracked by money. How's that working out, everybody, by the way? Not too well.
No, not at all. And I especially like the one in your book where you started off talking about the young lady who, she liked this guy, he was nice looking, 20-something, and said that he broke it off with her, and you asked her, well, did you start telling him about your feelings? And of course she did. And that's the first mistake usually that we make. We get into maybe a couple of weeks of a dating engagement, and then we break out our feelings, and you got to be careful about doing that. You just can't break out with the guy and say, oh, I love you. I'm in love with you. Okay, step back a little bit. Get to know him. See where his are going. Sometimes it takes a while to really get to know a person, and actually it takes longer to evaluate them. So you don't have to rush into things. You would easily get your heart broken.
Absolutely. You know, those are the kinds of things put the word love in trouble. That's not love.
I mean,
3 days later, oh, I love you, baby. I love you. I love your body. I love you. I want you, baby. That's not love. That's someone who wants to get over on you, have some sex with you as quick as he can, and maybe if you're good enough in bed, maybe he'll keep you around. That should not be the basis and the foundation for relationships. So you're right on, girl. That's what we need, is we need people to take their time. I would tell people right now to put their right hands up and say, do not go to bed with people right away, because it stops the communication. As soon as you go to bed with someone, the decent, warm, gentle communication between you stops, and the whole conversation goes to, how was I in bed? How were you in bed? What did I do wrong in bed? What did I do right in bed? The anxieties and the fears come up. Take your time. Don't be jumping into bed with anyone anymore. And if they're not going to want to be with you because you don't jump into bed, let them hit the low road. Let them go.
Bye. Get the stepping. Bye. There go the door. Bye. Because if you're not on the same page with me, and I agree with you all the way, Bruce, if the guy is not on the same page with you, then bye. If his intentions are not going to be like yours, then fine. You do not have to settle for less. It's okay to have your priorities the way you want them to be. You don't have to break your standards for anybody. The same thing for a man. If she's not the woman that you are looking for, then bye. And I always like this one. My mother always taught me, pray to God. God will send you the person who you want. Stop looking for it. And these dating sites, oh, my God, Bruce, they are just getting ridiculous. If I see one more dating site on commercial, that's it.
Yeah.
Christian legal. They got one for people who are gluten-free. We got Baptists. We got meet black people, farmers. Come on. They got over 1,500 dating sites. And to me, Bruce, I think that the dating sites are okay, but you got to be careful about those, too. Everybody's not honest on those sites, okay? Be putting up pictures of them, of other people. Because I remember one time when I was on Facebook like that, and, well, it was an imposter pretending to actually be a woman, and very sad. But it was just a group thing. It wasn't looking for love or nothing like that. We were just in a group, and somebody had exploited this person, saying, oh, this is not an actual woman. I'm like, see, that's why you can't trust online sites. You don't know who you're talking to.
That's right. That's right. Very true. And you know what, technique? In general, there's nothing wrong with dating sites because some people have met some wonderful people on there. But happens is, who does those dating sites? Who do they attract? Addictive personalities, maybe former alcoholics, maybe former drug addicts, smokers, drinkers, people who are addictive. And what they do is they think they're like little kids in a candy store. They think they start dating. They date once a day, twice a day, and they abuse that. And that's when it becomes dangerous for you, for others, and it doesn't work out. Dating sites are wonderful. It's what you do with them. That it either comes out well for you or badly.
Oh, I just thought about the movie that Vivica A. Fox played in, Two Can Play That Game. That was the name of that movie. Now we were talking about earlier about body traders. I would like to know, who are the body traders, Bruce?
Body traders are those cold-hearted people that have turned to thinking about relationships, compromising themselves, and negotiate relationships with no love included. That's what a body trader is. You give me, if you have enough of what I want, if I'm a guy and you have enough booty, boobs, beauty that I want, I'll offer what I have to you. If you're that woman and you look at me and I have enough of the car, the house, enough money, the job, and if I have enough of what you want, then you'll trade your body for what I'll give to you, and that's a body trader. No love. There's no love there. Did I lose you again? Oh, I don't hear you.
Oh, I was saying I love the way I'm sorry, Bruce, the disconnection. I love the way when a man just looks at a woman like he'd never seen a woman before, and you'd be like, seriously? You're breaking your neck? I mean, they actually break their neck when they see a woman with a behind on her. I'm like, wow. it really gets me every time, and I love it. And then some of them will look, because I have caught some of them, they'll look at me, and I'll be like, hey, I understand. You're a man. She looks good. Go right ahead. Then some of them you'd be like, see, I couldn't be a lesbian. I couldn't because I would be too picky. Because I don't care how good-looking you are, I'm just sorry. Like, it's, for instance, my husband and I, we go to this show to support this woman, and she has a young lady there, and they put her on the spot every time. But one day, I'm sorry, I just caught a whiff of her breath, and I was like, no. That's wrong. Your body's okay, but your breath. And then I looked, and the more I examined her, I was looking at her face. I was like, no, proactive. And then, you know, it's okay to wear a weave, but it was synthetic. And I was like, no, see, I couldn't be one. I couldn't be a lesbian because I'd be too picky. No, You're not going to have bad breath in your face. If I don't have problems with my face, no, you can't have problems with your face. And I'm looking like, what are we actually looking at on her? Just her behind, because that's all that I see. And then she didn't even have to talk, Bruce. You breathe, when your breath, when you have a breath problem, you could breathe and you could still smell it. I was like, no, that's not cute at all. You guys are looking at the outside, and I'm looking at the inside. No, not going to work.
Exactly. You have to take care of yourself. You have to honor yourself.
You
have to honor your body.
You do. And that's the first thing that starts with love. You got to take care of everything. Everything. And I mean it. Guys, too, check yourself. If you know that you're not right with your breath, please don't walk up on nobody and start talking. And it seems like it's so hard for them to not know that they have bad breath. And you said to be talking to them, you like, you don't smell your own breath. Because, I mean, all you got to do is take your hand in front of your face. You should be able to smell that. That's a big issue for me. It is, and you don't want to, and I don't know how to come out and tell people that your breath is bad. I just usually walk away, or I'll hold my breath like, I hope this conversation is going to be over in 2 seconds. I can't take it.
You shouldn't have to put yourself up for that kind of treatment. You should still walk away.
Right. I shouldn't have to kill myself to sit here and talk to you, and you got bad breath. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
It just, and I usually get caught off guard with that, because sometimes the person do be nice looking to you, just get that. You be like, oh, my God. No wonder why you can't get anybody.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's why I've committed the rest of my life to helping anybody that wants to meet a good man and helping men that want to meet a good woman. I'm going to put people together. In seminars and workshops, I'm going to go to different cities around the country, and I'm going to help you.
Exactly. A lot of people need help, and that should be the number one thing, part of your seminar, Bruce. Make sure your breath smells good before you walk up to anybody and take care of your body odors. Don't nobody want to smell that.
Let me write that down.
Put that on there. Do not walk up and expect a date, and you got bad breath.
I like the way you put that. Don't walk up on anybody. I like that.
And, Bruce, I don't know if you ever experienced it, but they usually always be the ones that don't want the gum or peppermint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to be aware. I mean, if you're so self-centered, if you think that the whole world evolves around you, and you don't even realize that you smell or you have bad breath, you know what? That person may or not be able to change that the rest of their lives. And you have to, before you get involved with anybody like that, you should be really saying to yourself, do I want to be with someone who is so self-involved that they don't even know they smell, that they stink?
Who wants that? And what they call them, the pretty boy kind, I do not want a pretty boy. No. Who thinks he looks better than me? No. That's not going to work.
Mm-mm. You know, you bring up a good point that I want to talk about now, if you don't mind. Because they say to me, how can you tell a player? How can you tell a player? Well, you just brought up something. You brought up some really great things in this show. I really appreciate it. The way you can tell a player are, let's just say guys, and guys have to watch this out with girls too. But if someone seems to have way too much self-confidence, that they're just so full of themselves, they're so cocky, and they're coming up to you, and they want to get to know you, I guarantee you that if someone is very sensitive, if someone is looking for love, if someone doesn't want to be rejected, someone who's very kind and gentle, they're not going to go up to a girl and say, hey, baby, how you hanging? that's just not going to happen. So you have to say to yourself, I'm going to watch out for people who appear to have way too much self-confidence, because here's what's happening. That person is not approaching you with their heart, with their soul. They're just approaching you like a number. And you either mm-hmm. say yes or you say no. But there's nothing about love and kindness there. So if someone comes on too strong, too much self-confidence, that person is not coming from their heart. And I have one other way for people to tell if they're getting involved with a player or not.
Mm-hmm.
A player can really tell how your self-confidence is. Is it low? Is it high? If you have high self-confidence, they know they have to sell themselves on how great they are if they think you're going to be interested. If they figure
yeah.
out that you have very low self-esteem, if they
got
they know
you.
If they compliment you, and say things to you that you don't say to yourself, they know that they have you, because you're going to want them around to compliment you and make you feel good where you don't feel good on your own. So watch out for the salesman, the stockbroker, the lawyer, the banker
mm-hmm.
who sells himself how great he is or how great you are. He's a player.
Yeah. Tell you anything that you want to hear. And you're right. If you don't believe in yourself, then you will fall for anything. And I think that's who you're saying are the body traders. They're the ones who will play on your emotions just to get it, and then they're gone. You got the love within yourself. And you're right, you got the love within yourself. You got to start with your own self. You don't need nobody to tell you that. But if you do, then you need to be talking to Bruce after
that's
this show, because you
right.
need serious guidance. But Bruce,
right.
In your bio, why do you say that the world depends on whether we open our hearts again?
As we talked about a little while ago, if we keep
mm-hmm.
putting out vibes, bad vibrations, anger, bitterness, we keep putting that out into the world, hurting other
yeah.
people, hurting everybody we come in contact with. If we keep doing that, we are going to put out so much bad vibrations that the world is going to explode from the violent nature of our very own selves. We need to start loving and coming from a loving place, so that we can calm down Mother Nature.
Okay, yeah. I want to know how did this even begin? Where did this even start with men or women even thinking they can play this love game?
They want sex, and they want to hook up, and they figure out in their head, they think it out, how can I still have sex? How can I still look good with a girl or with a guy and not get my heart involved? And that's how they become players. They close their hearts. They really don't. If you get rejected, your heart gets hurt. If people make fun of you or reject you, your heart gets hurt. But if they think that they're proceeding without their hearts and only with their heads, that's the way players move about and proceed with their relationships. And you, as not you, but anyone who gets involved with them, if you
mm-hmm.
stay involved with them, you're a player too. So that's why I told you. This is how you could tell a player. Then you need to let them go no matter what they smell like, no matter what they taste like, no matter what they look like, no matter how many mm-hmm. hundreds they put out of their pocket. If you're going to be with a player, and you're a player, and you're going to have to suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you sure will. And it's going to be a terrible consequence if you're sticking around just because of the looks. Because once that vanished, then what you have left, not nothing. It look horrible and ugly. Because I'm sure if you take a lot, like a woman, when they take off their makeup, some of them look really bad, and that's how their attitude stinks. That's how their attitude is. It's ugly. Once you take all that away, and the same for a man. You take away the cologne, the clothes. Oh, he looks awful. He really does. You want him to look good when he still takes off that cologne and them clothes. You still want him to look good. And what makes him look good is his attitude, and not that he's trying to use you. But, you know, it comes to mind that parents, and as me being a parent, we have to be a role model for our children. We have to start, we have to make sure that they understand what love is. And see, when I was growing up, sex wasn't introduced to me early. It was no. In my household, it was no sex, none of that. You wait. Now, when I broke my virginity at 18, I thought I was somebody. My mother still had to break me down. Look here, you still in my household. You better get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. I was scared of my mother. Like, Ruth, I promise you, I cannot get a boyfriend for the world. When they found out I was a virgin, or they found out who my mother was, that was it. That was it. No, I know who your mother is. I know that you're not going to give up sex, so no, I'm going to dump you now. I was like, I couldn't keep a boyfriend to save my life. And I think I was put into the ugly duckling category because of that. Because I found out I was really cute. I started looking at myself. I'm like, I was a cute little thing. It was just that the guys didn't make me feel that way because I wasn't having sex or my butt wasn't big enough. But now I look at myself, I'm like, honey, you missed a great opportunity. And some of them still try to contact you on Facebook, like, oh, I messed up. Oh, yeah, it's too late now. I'm sorry. And I'm married.
You know what?
My children.
Technisha, when you saved yourself from having tremendous heartache in your life, you saved yourself from closing off your heart, because when you're 14, 15, 16 years old and you're hooking up, you're a child. You're a child taking on a very mature act. Forget, I'm not even talking about AIDS, TDs. Forget about that, which are horrible examples. But you're having intercourse with someone when you're 14 or 15, and then after they do that with you, most likely you pick someone who is 18 because he was such a hot ticket, and you just wanted to, you know, get in your pants. You're going to feel so rejected and so beat up by the time you're 18, you're going to close your heart. That's why it's so important to wait until you're mature enough to be able to handle all the aspects of what might come up in relationships.
Yep, that's why I try to make sure I stick close to my girls, and that's what my mother did. She remained so close to me. And I used to be upset. I'm like, I don't understand. I'm not getting a boyfriend, and I'm always getting teased. But now I do understand the older I got. I didn't need that. That wasn't love. That was the peer pressure and just to fit in to get to the parties. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I am grown and I understood what my mother was trying to prevent. I didn't need to do that for you to invite me to the party. That's fine. I stay in my geeky world and do my homework and make sure I had it on time, too. So
I'm gonna play this part of the radio show for my 10-year-old daughter.
Oh, yes. Because we do. And I know my girls, they're 8 years of age. They're twin girls. And they're going to get to that point. And I'm going to let them know the same thing. You don't have to rush for anybody. I wish I didn't even break my virginity at 18. But I did it because I was like, I'm a senior now. I'm tired of this peer pressure. I'm tired of listening to mom. And I wish I would have saved it because, well, for one, it wasn't like I wanted it to be. I was like, I thought it was supposed to be explosions, burst of air or something. I did. I was listening to other people like, oh, it's like this. And I'm like, no, not at all. It wasn't no fireworks. What's going on here? I skipped school for this because I skipped school for the first time. I don't even think it was skipping school. I think I liked when I was something. It was senior cut day. That's what it was. So my mother didn't know about senior cut day. So I said, I'm a rebel.
Oh, you tell her about that. Oh, my God.
Mother, I'm sorry. Good thing that she doesn't do the internet. Because I did. I skipped school that day, and I thought I was grown. But and people, and it's for young ladies out here who's listening, if you have children as well, just because you're 18, it doesn't make you grown. Because you're 21, it does not make you grown. What makes you grown to me, regardless of age, is when you get that maturity to know right from wrong. And it doesn't mean just going out there just having unprotected sex and doing what you want to do. You have to be cautious. We have to start taking heed to what's going on around us and looking at our surroundings. So what if your mother's strict? Deal with it. I'd rather for her to be strict instead of letting her have loose hands and I go out there and get molested, raped, or either murdered. So I'm thankful for my mother because I ran back into the guy who I actually had sex with, Bruce, for the first time, and he was like, don't be strict on your girls. What do you mean not to be strict on my girls like my mom was? First of all, times were different for us when I was going to school. Nowadays, you let your children go out here in the street, they're missing Amber Alert. So I am going to be very strict on my girls. I want to know where you're going. No, I'm not going to have boys stand up in my house. Yes, and I do know that you will probably have sex, but that does not mean I'm going to have a boy up in my house talking about what's up, mom. No, get out. No, we're not going to have that type of relationship. So you can feel like you're being bombarded, whatever. And anytime, and like I always say, and my mother told me, anytime you feel like you're grown, there's the door. Pack your stuff and you can hit the door if you feel that my rules are a little too firm for you. Because I'm not going to play that. That's just my motto. And I think parents need to start getting a handle on this because I see it now, children all in the street at times of night. You could not even get me to be in the street. If you was not home by the time that street light hit, that's your behind. That's how it was for me growing up. Yeah, Bruce, that's how it was.
That's why you're so centered and you have a good life and you didn't put yourself in harm's way. And I'm telling you, I can teach my daughter this as the love coach. We kid around a lot, but I'm going to make sure she listens to this radio. This is a very important radio show. I hope you promote this to a lot of people. There's so much good stuff came out of it. I want my daughter to listen to you, to say all the things that you said that would back up all the things that I've been teaching her.
Yeah, because I know it's got to be hard, especially coming from a father perspective, for her to listen to you like, okay, whatever, Dad. Because I lost my father when I was 7, so my mom was the father figure for me. And that's why I love about this show, because I'm sure people were thinking, oh, it's just going to be about sex. Love plays a big part in it all, and love starts off with respect. So, you know, I'm just thankful that I did have that type of enforcement. Yes, my mother got me in the house at a certain time. No, you're not going to be out there playing with boys all day. No, it wasn't that. Mm-mm. Now, even one guy, I remember, I'll never forget when he told me, and I hope I run back into him, he said, that's a darn shame. You're going to be on diet, and nobody would never have had sex with you. Well, I don't know about that one, wherever you are, young man. But I do have a husband. We've been married for 10 years because I'm 31 now. So I'm proud of myself. But
Congratulations.
Thank you. Before I get off the line with you, Bruce, is there anything that you would like the listeners to know or find out or even get your book?
Yeah, people can contact me at lovecoach, L-U-V-coach, at AOL.com. And when I was telling you before, I want to come around to cities around the country, and if we can get 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200 people to come by who all want to open up their hearts, I need people like you in a city like Atlanta to work with so I can bring my work and you can put your work together. So I'm very serious about that. I want to reach as many people as possible. They can go to my website, lovecoachluv.net, luvcoach.net, and you can read my blogs. You can read all about all the work I've been doing. And please contact me. If you want to work together with me, I want to hear from you. If you want one-on-one coaching, I want to work with you. If you want to help me put seminars together in different cities around the country, I want to work with you. I want you to contact me.
Thank you so much, Bruce. And I am willing to work with you because we need to spread this word around. Oh, people, I know we get short on time, but please contact Bruce. If you're going through any love situations, if you need to know something, he is there for you. He will explain it all. But, Bruce, thank you. It was an honor to have you on the show. I really appreciate it because you are the godfather of love.
Well, gosh, I appreciate that. That's really cool. Thank you so much, and it was great to be here.
Thank you, Bruce. And I hope I can have you again on my show because it was wonderful. I really love our conversation.
Anytime, anytime.
All right. That was Bruce Starr. You can find him. Google him. He's the love coach. And tomorrow we will be talking to Jana Flame, who is a survivor of ovarian cancer. So tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. This is the show that will keep you motivated. Love you.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha. Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Technisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.